morning we're down in verse number 41. We'll finish up Luke chapter 20 this morning by reading verse 41 down through verse number 47. Luke chapter 20, beginning in verse number 41, down through the end of the chapter. I encourage you to follow along as I read aloud Luke chapter 20, beginning in verse number 41. Jesus Christ is speaking to the scribes and to the Pharisees. And he says in verse 41, "And he said unto them, How say ye that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord, how is he then his son? Then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples, Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes, and love greetings in the markets, and the highest seats in the synagogues, and the chief rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Now, Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you for each and every one that's here. We thank you for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that gave us the forgiveness of our sins. Father, gave us peace with God. Father, enables us to have such sweet fellowship one with another. We thank you for the opportunity to be here tomorrow and to open the Word of God together today and to open the Word of God together. We pray, Lord, that as we do it, you would speak to our hearts, you would challenge us, you would convict us. Father, most of all, that you would increase our faith in our God. And Father, give us a better vision of man as he stands in your sight. And Father, help us from honesty and from the sincereness of our hearts, Father, to love you with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And Father, I pray you'd help us to put away from us any evidences of hypocrisy, Father, any falseness of belief. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be open, honest, and transparent before you, and that God, we would be that way before others also. Lord, bless this passage of Scripture to our hearts today. Teach us what you have for us. May the Spirit of God be our teacher and not just the voice of a human. But Father, we pray we receive your word as it is indeed the word of God. Bless this time together and bless your word each and every heart. We pray most of all, should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, does not know for sure they'll go to heaven when this life is over, that Father, you'd speak to them especially and particularly this morning. Father, meet that need in their life. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Upon reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four different accounts of the human life of the Lord Jesus Christ for the 33 and a half years that he was here, there is one sin that was more sinful to the Lord Jesus Christ than any other sin. One sin that he mentioned more often than any other sin. One sin that he preached against more than any other sin. One sin that he was more vehemently opposed to than any other sin. Now you might say, well, that sin is the sin of unbelief, and surely that ranks up there. But I'm talking about looking at passages of Scripture, looking at what Jesus Christ said while he was here on earth. There is one subject that just irked him, one subject that roused his ire more than any other subject that he talked about during his earthly ministry as recorded in the four Gospels. That subject is addressed here in Luke chapter 20, and it is the subject of hypocrisy. Jesus Christ had more to say about hypocrisy than almost any other subject he talked about while he was here on this earth. He talked about the hypocrisy of scribes and the Pharisees. It was mostly the religious leaders. Hold your place there if you would and look back to a familiar portion of Scripture. Look back at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and Luke are not the same account of the same actual event in two different Gospels, but two different occasions upon which Jesus addressed this subject of hypocrisy. In chapter number 23, he's not asking them questions as he is in Luke chapter 20. He's preaching a scathing sermon against the scribes and the Pharisees because of their hypocrisy. Notice in Matthew 23, beginning in verse 1, "Then Jesus spake to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. That's the definition of hypocrisy. Saying and not doing. And the Lord Jesus Christ is telling His disciples, all those things the Pharisees tell you to do, do them because they're right to do. But their problem is they're telling you to do it, but they're not doing it themselves. And then the things that they are doing for a wrong motive or a wrong basis. Look at what He says in verse number 5. For all their works they do for to be seen of men. They made broad their phylacteries, enlarged the borders of their garments, and loved the uppermost rooms at feasts. And the chief seats in the... Chief seats. The chief seats. The chief seats in the synagogues. And greetings in the markets. And to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. He says in verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Then look, if you would, at verse 13. And here's where he begins. He says in verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus Christ is preaching. And He's preaching to the scribes and the Pharisees, and He addresses them and calls them hypocrites. Why? Because they're saying, but not doing. And the things that they are doing, they're doing for show and tell, and not because of the sincerity of their hearts. So in verse 14, He says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Notice how He starts verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Notice how He starts in verse number 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. He's not just stuck. The needle's not just stuck on the record. He's making an impression upon their minds that the thing that He despises the most out of what they're doing is that they're being hypocritical. These that are in a position of leadership spiritually are leading the people astray knowingly. He says to them again, not only in verse 23, but verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. How many times do you think Jesus would have to say it for it to be meaningful? I mean, one time would be enough, wouldn't it? But seven times in this one chapter, Jesus is focusing on this one sin of the religious leaders, and He says in verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And verse number 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jesus Christ preached much on the sin of hypocrisy while He was here on earth. It was a sin that He just absolutely detested and couldn't stand. Now, you and I know that Jesus Christ was a man of compassion. When He talked to the sinners and the publicans, there was no rebuke. There was no harshness. There was no hardness. He reached out with love, mercy, and grace. When Jesus spoke to the harlot, It wasn't rebuke, it wasn't harshness and hardness, because He could see the sincerity and brokenness of her heart, and He reached out in love, compassion, and grace. When He called Matthew the tax collector, when He called that tax collector, that crooked man, He did not rebuke him and focus on all those things, but He invited him to come to Him because He knew that his heart was sincere and open and honest before God. May I tell you this morning that the thing that God wants in your life and mine above everything else is sincerity. He wants no hypocrisy. Don't put on for somebody else. Don't put on something that you're not. Just be what you are and let God accept you that way. And God will make the changes as He sees necessary to make them. But so many people today are trying to put on that false front and that persona and that religious spear when it's not really part of who they are or what they are. And Jesus Christ preached against it often because He detested that kind of spirit. When He talked to the penitent thief on the cross, He didn't rebuke him. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus Christ had an open, tender heart toward the sinner that sincerely sought Him. But to that one with religious pretense that was not real and not genuine, Jesus Christ rebuked them. You know, when somebody comes to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, we can't know their heart. We can't see inside of them. Somebody can come down this aisle and you can take them aside and open the Bible and show it up and show it to them, and they can pray that prayer. They can say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. I ask You now to forgive my sins and to save my soul. And as far as all outward appearance, it's all done. Only God knows the sincerity of the heart. And if the heart is sincere, whether it's a 5-year-old child or a 50-year-old man or an 80-year-old woman, if the heart is sincere, God opens up His bowels of compassion to receive that one. But when it's done for any other pretense, when it's done for show, when it's done for hypocrisy, when it's done for any other motive, the Lord doesn't hear and the Lord doesn't answer. Jesus Christ said much against the sin of hypocrisy. He was full of compassion for all the sinners. But when it came to the religious hypocrite, He was full of anger. The first time the word hypocrite appears in the Bible is in Job chapter 13. And it says, "He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before Him." God cannot stand the appearance of hypocrisy. God cannot stand the spirit of hypocrisy. Now, you know, the world many times accuses us of being a hypocrite. They say all those Christians are hypocrites. That's not the definition of hypocrite. A hypocrite is not someone who is trying to do right, but because of the power of the body and the flesh, oftentimes fails. That's not being hypocritical. That's setting a goal before us that we desire to attain, to be like Christ, to be perfect, not to be sinless, but to set Christ as our example and strive for that. And because we're in this body, we fall short. That's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is when we fall short and pretend we don't. Hypocrisy is when we struggle with sins and try to make it pass off like we're some superior saint. That's what hypocrisy is. All of us as believers are striving to do right and live right. And because Paul said that, "I know that in my body, in this flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Paul said years after his conversion, "I am the chiefest of sinners." That great Christian, the Apostle Paul, knew what it was like to struggle against infirmities of the flesh and temptations toward the flesh, and yet he could say in the midst of those things that he was pleasing God. That's not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is to know what the Bible says and know what God declares and do something opposite to it. What do we mean by hypocrite? If we're saved and living to please Jesus Christ, we're going to slip every now and then. Every now and then. Because we're not yet perfect. Paul the Apostle set the example. We know what it was like. But the biblical definition of hypocrite is what Jesus Christ is showing right here in these verses in Luke chapter 20. And I want you to see it with me if you would here this morning. Notice, He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees who have been questioning Him in this chapter. They came to Him and said, "Is it right to give tribute to Caesar or no?" They were hypocrites. They didn't want an answer. They were trying to trip Him up in their questions. Then the others came and said, there was a woman that had seven husbands, all these brothers that she married, and in the resurrection, whose wife will she be? For all seven had... They weren't sincere in their questions. They were hypocrites. You know, when you've been at this a little while, when you get the Bible under your belt a little bit, you can sense when you're talking to a hypocrite. You can sense when you're talking to somebody that isn't asking a question because they're sincerely desiring an answer. They're asking something to stir up the waters and make it a little clouded and a little muddy. I oftentimes, as a pastor, often have somebody will come and say, "I was talking to this friend, and this friend said, what about this or what about that?" And I can just tell by the tenor of the question, they are not seeking answers. They're trying to present difficulties. And as long as that's their attitude to do it, you're not going to reach them with the gospel of Christ. Until that hypocrisy issue is taken care of and they're willing to open up their hearts sincerely, you're not going to get anywhere with a person like that. You're spinning your wheels and wasting your time. Jesus Christ is rebuked. You say, "Boy, how harsh could He be? Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. How harsh could He be?" He's not wasting His time on those He knows are not sincere. He'd rather speak to the harlots and the publicans and the tax collectors like Zacchaeus and Matthew. And He'd rather deal with them because though they were sinful, yet they were sincere. And those are the ones that are on Jesus' heart this morning. Those that don't put on a false show and don't put on a facade and don't pretend to be something they're not. But and again, not satisfied to be what they are. That doesn't help any either. Having an honest desire to improve and be better in our Christian walk with God, and yet at the same time not putting on all these facades of being something that we're not. Jesus rebuked that kind of spirit. And notice what He did to these who were the experts, these that were the religious leaders. Notice what He said in verse 41. You know what He asked them? "Whose son is Christ?" They were hypocrites concerning Scripture. The very thing that they felt was their strong suit and their strong point. The very thing they thought they were knowledgeable about, Jesus came and said, "You're not looking at it honestly. You're not looking at it sincerely, because if you did, if you looked at the Scriptures, you would know that these are those that testify of Me. And he attacked them for their hypocrisy of the Scriptures. Knowing what the Scriptures said, and yet not believing it because they had a different opinion or idea about what it should say. He said, what do the Scriptures say? What do they say about Christ? He said in verse 41, how say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, and the Lord quotes Psalm chapter 110, verse number 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore calleth him Lord. How is he then his son? He's asking him a very simple question. Whose son is Christ? They knew that the Messiah would be the son of David. And so he said that David had a son, and yet David called that son Lord. So whose son is Christ? If he's David's son, how could he be David's Lord? You say, well, that's a trick question. It's a very basic and simple question that they should have been able to answer easily if they were honest and if they were sincere. Psalm chapter 110 is the great messianic psalm about the coming of the Son of God and the Son of David. And the simple answer to the question is that as man, Jesus was the son of David. But as God, He was the son of the Lord. And yet they could not grasp that handle because they were disdaining the Scripture in favor of their religious presentation. You say, well, I'm glad there's not people like that today. You know, a religious hypocrite is one that stands in a position of religious authority and questions what God says. You want an illustration this morning of who a religious hypocrite is? It's the person that stands behind a desk, stands behind a pulpit in a church, and says, you can work your way to heaven. Knowing all along, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Knowing all along that Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. And yet all across this country and around this world today are men that are standing in front of congregations and standing in front of groups of people and saying, you can work your way to heaven. If your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll go to heaven. If you get baptized, you'll go to heaven. If you join the church, if you give this much money, if you do this, if you do that, if you keep the test, they're giving a presentation of salvation by works, knowing the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's no works in that plan. There's no works in that free gift of eternal life. And yet there are religious hypocrites all around the world today telling people they can work their way to heaven, and they're going to die without Christ. From hearing that, they're going to die believing a false gospel. Paul talked about it in Galatians chapter 1. He said, if any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So what does that word accursed mean? Look at the end of Luke chapter 20. There's a two-word definition of accursed right there. Greater damnation. I've heard a lot of people say, well, accursed means damned to hell. Well, they're already damned to hell. What does accursed mean? Well, it means damned to hell right now. Well, they were already damned to hell right now by preaching. You know what it means? Greater damnation. Those that promulgate a false gospel are guilty of more suffering and punishment in eternity than the average sinner, if we can say it that way. Because the Lord despises religious hypocrisy. There are those that proclaim from pulpits and from platforms and all these other things that Jesus Christ is just one of many ways to get to heaven. Some go through Christ, some go through Buddha, some go through Confucius, some go by doing good, some go by all these different means. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so anybody that proclaims, you say, boy, you're judging other people's religion. Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did in Matthew chapter 23. He said to the scribes and the Pharisees, who were religious leaders, you're hypocrites. Why are they hypocrites? Because they knew what the Scripture said, but they weren't going to believe it because it messed up their system. And there are people today that don't want Jesus Christ to be the Son of God because it messes up their religious system. They don't want to declare that He is God in the flesh. You know what He said to Philip? To Philip, He said, "He that has seen Me has seen the Father." You know what Jesus Christ is saying? I am the Father. I and the Father are one. John chapter 20. He looked at Thomas, and Thomas fell down before Him and looked at Jesus and said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas called Jesus Christ God. What did Jesus say? "Hey, I'm not God. Don't call Me that." He accepted that worship and adoration because He is God. If He wasn't God, He's a liar, because He allowed somebody to bow down and call Him God. But we know that He is God. And when somebody stands up and says Jesus was just another good man, just another prophet, just another religious leader, they're lying. And the Lord detests religious hypocrisy. There are some that will stand up. We're getting a lot closer to home here. There are some that will stand up and say, you know, hell is not a literal fire, knowing that the Bible says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. They'll say, hell is not really a place, it's the grave, when the Bible says 54 times there's a place called hell. When the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And yet men will stand, and women will stand, behind pulpits in America and tell people there is no such thing as hell. The Lord detests religious hypocrisy. That's why the Bible tells us to take this thing right here and try the spirits whether they be of God. Just because someone stands in a position of religious leadership or authority, whether in a church building or on a television or over a radio program, if what they say doesn't match up to this, they're guilty of being a religious hypocrite. And the Lord Jesus Christ detests religious hypocrites. They shall receive, He said, the greater damnation, because they're saying something they know is not in accordance to the Word of God. All that Bible, it's full of stories and old wives' tales. You know, the Pope himself even said Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, all that stuff about the Garden of Eden is just an allegory. It's not really right. It's not really true. And people down through the miracle, the crossing of the Red Sea, it wasn't really the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. They didn't cross a deep ocean, they crossed a little, you know, patch of land that was about that deep. It was the Reed Sea. Jonah wasn't really swallowed by a whale. There's no whale big enough to have swallowed Jonah. All these different stories, people doubt all the things of the Word of God. In fact, I have an uncle, and I've told you this before, I have an uncle that was a deacon in a church, and they got the new pastor straight out of seminary. And he came in one day and he said, "You know, this Bible has many errors and contradictions in it. And many of the stories are not true. If you don't know which stories are true and which are not true, come and ask me and I'll tell you." That was the day my uncle got up and turned around and walked out of the church. For somebody to stand in a place of religious authority and to teach something contrary to the written Word of God, Jesus Christ detest that. You say, "Boy, that's strong words." Not any stronger than Him saying, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites," 7 times in one chapter. He wanted to make sure they got the message through, that they knew exactly what He's saying. And I don't care if it's an infidel or an agnostic or an atheist, they're dumb anyways. They don't have a clue. They can say Jesus isn't God, they don't receive greater damnation. They can say the Bible's full of errors, they don't receive... You know why? Because people know who they are. They're atheists, agnostics, infidels, and people don't give them the time of day. But for those that stand in a place of religious authority, who people respect because of that position, and esteem them as spiritual leaders, and for them to say the things that the agnostic or atheist or infidel will say, God says to them, "Ye shall receive the greater damnation." God detests the sin of hypocrisy. These men were guilty of it because they knew what Psalms promised. They knew what Psalms prophesied. They knew what the Psalms testified of, but it didn't fit their religious system, so they put Him out. They were guilty of hypocrisy concerning Scripture. Then notice, if you would, secondly, beginning in verse 45. They were guilty of hypocrisy concerning spirituality. In verse number 45, the Bible says, "Then in the audience of all the people, Jesus said unto His disciples, Beware of the scribes." He wasn't in a foul mood that day. He wasn't out to upset people. But He detested the sin of hypocrisy. Not only in how they handled the Scriptures, but in how they presented their spirituality. Their spirituality was simply a garment put on the outside. Notice what it says they liked in verse number 46. They desire to walk in long robes. They've got special garments. Something that makes them appear to be holier than others. Something that by their very appearance people say, "Oh, this must be a man of God." And they like to walk around in those garments because it gives them a special appearance. It says in verse 46, "And love greetings in the markets." They love special titles. So they like to be acknowledged. They like to dress up and talk up so that people around will see them to be something they really are not. This all contradicts the humility that comes with real spirituality. Real spirituality just comes in being humbled before God and recognizing that we're all just simply sinners saved by grace. But there are religious leaders, if you ask them, "Are you a sinner saved by grace?" They'll say, "I was never a sinner. I've always been a member of the church. I've always been right before God. I was baptized as an infant. God received me at such a young age, and I've continued in that since I was born. How long have you been a Christian?" "I've been a Christian all my life." Now, you know what you want to say? "You liar." You know what Jesus said? "Woe unto you, hypocrites. Because you know the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. You know the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know you have no right, biblically speaking, to say, 'I've always been a Christian. I've never sinned. I've never done anything unholy or unright.'" They love the garments that draw attention toward them as being special. They love the praises of men more than the praises of God. They love the special titles in the marketplace for people to call them master or rabbi or teacher. It says in verse 46, they love the highest seats in the synagogue. Special garments, special titles, special seats. They're esteemed highly because of what they appear to be. When inside, the Lord said, they're full of dead men's bones. Jesus Christ called this group whited sepulchers. A sepulcher, of course, was like a tomb where people were buried. And He said of the Pharisees, "You're simply hypocrites. You're a whited sepulcher. Inside, outside you look nice. It's all been painted over. It's bright and glossy and white. But inside, you're empty and full of dead men's bones." That's what Jesus said to religious hypocrites. That was His opinion of them. And here He rebukes them. He says, "Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and to love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogue and the chief rooms at feasts." That was what they desired. But notice it says in verse 47, it tells us what they devoured, which devour widows' houses. You say, how'd they do that? Well, some of you are old enough to remember Jimmy Baker and Tammy Faye and the PTL Club. Some of you are too young to even know what we're talking about. Or you weren't saved and could care less what was going on back in those days. But in the late 1970s, there was a television program called PTL. It stood, they said, for Praise the Lord. But everybody that knew a little better knew it stood for Pocket the Loot. And they were guilty, and I say this, they were guilty of deceiving gullible people in getting them to send money to them, money to them, money to them, money to them, and they made out like bandits. They were wolves in sheep's clothing. You say, boy, you're being judgmental. I'm only repeating what Jesus Christ said. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Jim Baker ended up in prison because he was dishonest. His wife ended up going down the tubes as far as anything spiritual is concerned, if she ever had anything in the first place. But this is the example of it. They were receiving money from widows and widowers, old people in their will bequeathing everything to the PTA. And you know what they did? They built an amusement park for Christians with the money of widows and widowers. And you say, what were they doing? They were devouring widows' houses. They were just like these scribes and Pharisees. Is it any wonder that Jesus said to them, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites"? Is it any wonder he said, "Ye shall receive the greater damnation"? Those that under spiritual pretense were taking advantage of other people, of gullible people. Now, I felt bad back in those days. We'd all make fun of it and tease and say, you know, if you send them money, you get what you deserve. And to a great extent for thinking people, that was true. But a lot of times there were good, well-meaning people that were just deceived by this act of the devil and sent their life savings and sent their money and bought Jim Baker a jet so he could travel. And they're still doing that today with other people, by the way. This didn't end in the 70s. These guys are still around. And the government investigates them, and then they say, oh, separation of church and state, and they're harming us. These religious hypocrites are harming honest religious people because they're saying, well, it doesn't matter if I put in my bathroom a $7,000 commode. And that's what they're doing with the money you're sending in, by the way. Now, hopefully not that you're sending in, but the money that some people are sending in. They're buying $7,000 commodes and marble things here and jets and all that there. And what does Jesus say? You're devouring widows' houses, and it makes him angry. It makes Jesus Christ angry. If there's anybody I wouldn't want to make angry, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to these kind of people, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Again, you're not a hypocrite if you're trying to live for God and you fail along the way, but pick yourself up and keep going anyways. That's not hypocrisy. I really get irked when people say, well, the church is full of hypocrites. Some people just say, oh, yeah, well, you're just one more, come and join us. And to an extent, that's true, but I don't believe the church is full of hypocrites. Hypocrisy is trying to put on one thing when you're something different. We put on exactly what we are. We're sinners saved by grace. And when we fall and when we fail, it's because that's our nature to do so. We're not happy about it. We don't accept it. We pray God give us victory the next time around, and we work on improving ourselves by the grace of God and by the faith that's within us. But hypocrisy is these that stand and put on a false sense of spirituality, what they desired, what they devoured. And lastly, at the end of verse 47, what they deserved. The same shall receive greater damnation. Now, you know, the first thing that brings to mind is he's not saying they shall receive damnation. Every lost sinner dying outside of Jesus Christ receives damnation. Everyone that in this lifetime does not acknowledge the fact that they are not it, that they need somebody else to come in and save their soul, that they need somebody else to come in and forgive their sins. They need somebody else to come in and change their heart. Every soul that lives and dies without ever coming to that knowledge and confessing before Jesus Christ, I need your forgiveness in my life. Everyone that dies without that dies and is condemned to hell for all eternity. That's called damnation. But the Bible says of these, they shall receive greater damnation. Just as there are degrees of glory in heaven, and there are degrees of rewards in heaven. You say, why are we here right now? We're all saved. Most of us, as far as I know, everybody here has trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Why did God leave us here? Why didn't He do what He did with the thief on the cross? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And within 24 hours you're dead and in heaven. I've been saved 33 years. That means 33 years ago I'd have gone to heaven. I'd have been in heaven right now for 33 years if I'd have died the day I got saved. But God doesn't do that. He leaves us here. Why? Because we're now we're to please Him. Now we're to be laying up treasures in heaven. By the things that we do in our life. Now, the treasures that we get down here on earth are not representative of the treasures we lay up in heaven. There are people that might have a lot of treasures down here that have none up there. There are people that might have a lot down here that still have a lot up there also. And there are people that might not have much down here that have a whole lot up there. But the purpose of your life and mine since we got saved is to build up those rewards that we get in heaven. What for? Because then we get to give them back to Jesus Christ. We show our praise and adoration of Him by the rewards we get in heaven and then turning back and giving them back to Him and singing praises to His glory. But just as there are degrees of reward in heaven, there are degrees of punishment in hell. That's why a man is judged by his works in Revelation chapter 20. That's why the book of life is open. And the other books are, and they are judged out of the things that are written therein. Why would a lost sinner need to be judged out of a book? Because there are degrees of punishment in hell. They all end up in hell. They all end up in the lake of fire. But there is a greater damnation. And those as the scribes and the Pharisees that have the privileges of having the Word of God and having the Scripture, those that have the privilege of being in a place of religious responsibility and yet teaching things that are contradictory to what the Bible says. You know, God put a lot of effort, if we can say in God speak or however you'd say it, God put a lot of effort into giving us this book. He put a lot of effort into inspiring exactly what He wanted us to have and not inspiring what we didn't need to have. Leading the writers of Scripture to write what they should write and not write what they didn't have to write. And then taking the Scripture and putting it in 66 books where we could hold it right there instead of having to have something about this big or that many volumes. God put it all concisely right here. And to contradict by teaching what is written right here by inspiration is hypocrisy. And the Lord detests it. And He said, if you do that, you shall receive the greater damnation. You know why you will hear from this pulpit there is a hell? Is because this Bible says so. And if anybody in this church, it's never happened, but if anybody ever came up and said, preacher, if you preach on hell one more time, I'm not going to put any money in the offering. You know what's going to happen? The next sermon's going to be on hell. Now, I hope it wouldn't be. I hope I'd be led of God to preach on whatever I should preach on, but that'd be an awful big temptation. If you don't change this message or that message or this thing, you know what I'm more worried about? I'm not worried about somebody pulling out their tithe. I'm not worried about somebody pulling out their family. I don't care if it's me and my four and no more next week here on Sunday morning. I need to make sure I'm not going to receive any damnation for anything I taught from this pulpit. That what came was the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it was true to the Word of God every time it was spoken. And if it's not, get it straightened out and get it right. And these that were willing to follow that path and not deter that path and not correct that path, the Lord said of them, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You devour widows' houses. You like the chief seats and the chief rooms at feasts and the special garments and the special titles. You shall receive the greater damnation. Hypocrisy is the opposite of sincerity. You know, as long as you're sincere, people will accept you. I know when I moved into Cambridge, Ohio years ago and I went and found a job to work while the church was being built and growing. I went and got myself a job and I found out a long time ago that first of all the truth will shock people. And second of all, they'll respect you when you tell the truth. If you do something wrong, if on the job site you break something or bust something, and you go to the manager, you go to the foreman, you go to them and say, hey, just had an accident, I did this, I did that. They'll get upset. They'll be shocked that you came and told them about it, probably. You did what? And you're telling me about it? You're not blaming somebody else or just pretending it didn't happen so we'll find it later? They'll be shocked about it, but they'll appreciate hearing the truth and knowing what happened. And you know what people want? They want the truth. I would rather have somebody tell me the truth if it's going to upset me and get it over with than to tell me lies and put off the truth till later on. And the Lord is the same way. He wants a humbled, sincere, contrite spirit. And when you and I bow before Him and simply say, Lord, I'm Your child. But I'm having a battle with this temptation. I'm having a trial with this sin of the flesh. Whatever it might be. You know, the Lord likes to hear that. He likes to hear His children, just like you as a parent would love to have your child come and say, "Mom, Dad, I'm being tempted. I'm having trouble with this. And Dad, I need your help. Mom, boy, doesn't that warm your heart when a kid would do something like that?" Imagine God, the Heavenly Father, when you're down on your knees saying, "Lord, I'm struggling here. Lord, I'm having a hard time here. Lord, I want to be a blessing to others, and I want to do this, the Lord loves to hear that conversation. He loves to have that conversation. And as long as we are sincere in our heart before God, God will bless us. But the minute we put on religious hypocrisy, God detests it. God despises it. And He says, "Woe unto you." Let's keep our hearts open and pure before God. Let's not put on a facade before Him. Let's not put on any airs that aren't real. Now, that doesn't mean we all have to walk around looking and acting like sinners. We don't have to prove that we're sinners. We already know that. But we're trying to do right. We're trying to live right. We're trying to please our Heavenly Father. But let's do it with hearts of sincerity. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Father, this morning we just pray, God, that You would make the truth of Your Word very real to us. Lord, how feeble it is to try to make the attempt, humanly speaking, to communicate the truth of the wonderful Word of God without the power of the Spirit of God behind it. And so, Lord, we pray that You would take these things that have been said, true to the Word of God, and apply them to our hearts. Father, help us always and ever to be open and sincere before You. God, knowing that that's exactly what You ask of us. Father, You're never impressed by what we tell You. You're never impressed by a man bragging on his own goodness. Father, You want a broken, contrite spirit, and that's what we offer to You here this morning. Father, should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and Father, maybe they've been riding this road of hypocrisy for a long time. Father, help them to come today, broken and open before You, sincerely, trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, knowing You're always open and ready to receive those that come unto You. You've said that those that come, You will in no wise cast out. Father, receive us this morning, we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Page 270 in the songbook.